read a verse tonight from the Old Testament of the Bible, in a book called the Book of Jeremiah. And the scripture I want to read to you is on page 919, if your Bible is the same as mine. That's Jeremiah, and chapter 8, and I want to read verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. I'd like to read another verse in the New Testament of the Bible. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 27. That's on page 1188. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 21. And the governor, answering, said to them, "Which of the two will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate says to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" I want to tell you tonight about my Savior. I want to tell you about someone who loved me when I was still in my sins. When I didn't know God at all, and I didn't even realize that I needed a Savior. But I thank God that He saw me just as I was in all my sins. And He didn't turn away from me. And I want to give you a message of salvation tonight, to tell you that the God who saved me from my sins can save you too. It's a wonderful thing, you know, that each one of us, even though we're all sinners before God, yet there's a Savior who tonight is prepared to forgive and forget every sin you've ever committed. He's a wonderful Savior. He can give you peace with God. He can give you hope. He can give you blessings that are far beyond anything that this world can provide. And tonight, I want to make sure that you know Him too. And that you know that your sins can be forgiven. And I read from this scripture in Jeremiah, because it just brings home to my heart the truth of the need of the gospel. The persons here were saying, the harvest is past and the summer is ended and we're not saved. Friend, is there anyone not saved in this hall tonight? You're at risk of an eternity without the God who loves you and has given His only Son, that you might be blessed. Did you notice the hymn that we sang at the beginning of this meeting? It told us that God's house is filling fast. That is, it's filling with persons who've trusted in Christ. But it says, soon salvation's day to you may pass away, and grace no more will say, yet there is room. Another hymn in our book says, why will you risk the peril of a lost eternity? And friend, if you're amongst those who in the days of Jeremiah could say, the harvest is over and the sun has passed, and we're still not saved. Friend, there's a God whose love is towards you tonight. And you need to have peace with God. A day is coming when you will stand before your God. And you will have to give an account to Him of what you've done, of what you said, and what you thought. Yes, He even knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. How challenging is that? The thoughts that come into my heart very often, God knows them all. doesn't condemn me for. He's a God who has purer eye than to behold iniquity. But a day is coming when I'm going to have to stand before him and give an account of myself to him. And so will you. Doesn't matter who we are, how young we are, how old we are. A day is coming when you will have to do with God. Another scripture from the Old Testament says quite simply and bluntly, prepare to meet your God. You'll meet him. You'll meet him in a day to come if you don't want to meet him tonight. You'll stand before him and you'll know that he's a righteous God, that he's a holy God. That there is a Saviour who was able to save you and give you peace with God. And you never bothered to answer from your heart to have to do with a God that was willing and waiting to save you. Friend, where do you stand before God tonight? Are we amongst those who have no room for Jesus? He gave his only beloved Son that you might be saved. He gave his life upon Calvary's cross to wash your sins away. And God has opened up a way of salvation for whosoever will. So you can trust him tonight and know that there's not a sin outstanding between yourselves and God. That day when I give an account of myself before God, I shall be able to say this, that I trusted in the Saviour that he provided, and through the shedding of his precious blood, my every sin has been completely taken away. I thank God for the gospel. I thank God for Jesus. Oh, the awfulness of facing an eternity without God. An eternity lost. An eternity without any hope of heaven. When God in his goodness, in the gospel, is telling you, come now. All ye who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. He is saying to you, there is full and free salvation available to you tonight, so that when you stand before that God, you will have no excuse. But you can point, if you trust in him, to that precious blood that was shed at Calvary's cross to take your sins away. And you can say, that made my peace with God. Friend, you'll be as free from sin as Jesus himself is. I invite you tonight to come, hear the gospel sound, yet there is room. Mm-hmm. There is room, you know. There's room in God's heart. There's room in his house. There's room for you. Day of mercy hasn't closed yet, but it's going to soon. That's one thing I can't tell you as I stand behind the desk. I don't know when it'll close, but I know it'll be soon. I know the day of mercy is going to close. And what will it be then? The gospel no longer preached, the opportunity of salvation gone, and the truth of that scripture, that you're going to stand before God and give an account of yourself before him, will dawn in upon you that you'll meet him then as a judge, whereas tonight you can meet him as a savior. Friend, what will you do? Will you let the summer pass? Will you let the harvest take place? Will you put it off to another day? How do you know that you'll have a tomorrow? I don't know. Nor do you. But God knows. And tonight. He's offering you the salvation that you can have in Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. He who came here and took upon himself your sins and mine, so that we might be blessed. He who was absolutely perfect before God, and only he could take your sins upon himself and be accepted before God. As the scripture says, there's only one name given under heaven amongst men by which we may be saved, and it's the name of Jesus. I wonder if you know him. Oh, friend, you need to come and know him tonight. I preach the gospel to you earnestly, because I know that mercy's door is going to close so soon. And I don't want you to be on the outside. I know I have an empty home, because I've trusted in my Savior, not because of anything I've done. But he has died for me, and I trust him for what he's done. I know that I have peace with God. And I know that I have a heavenly home before me, where I shall be with him in his presence eternally. And my heart will be eternally satisfied. Can't be in this world, can it? Think satisfied just for a time, but only for a few months. Oh no. In that day, the heart will be satisfied with Christ. And I shall be before him with a sense of all guilt gone. Every sin that I can remember, gone forever. Indeed, those I can't remember too. Slate completely cleared. All because the one who suffered for me at Calvary bore my sins in his body on the tree and endured God's wrath in relation to them. Oh, the awfulness of that hour, what it meant for Jesus to bear my sins in his body on that tree. But he took my sins away. And not only that, do you know? He's taken them away. And it's as though I'd never sinned at all. The Bible tells us that God has said, God has promised, their sins and their iniquities I will never remember anymore. The wonder of that, you know. Oh, we might be in eternity in the day to come in heaven, thinking back upon our sins, feeling guilty about them, wondering whether God really has forgotten. No, dear friend, they've gone completely from before the sight of God. The truth of justification is that God is prepared to wipe the slate entirely clean. You're as clear of sin as Jesus himself. And that's why the invitation can go out tonight, because God is righteous and God is holy. He couldn't invite you in. Be in heaven in your sins. No, he invites you in through Christ the door. The only way of salvation that is open to you tonight is the acceptance of Christ as a Savior of sinners, to own him as the one whom you need for your eternal salvation and for your blessing. You know, the gospel is urgent. The gospel is needed by every one of us. And I often feel the challenge of the word even as I preach, because having come to many, many meetings, many churches, heard many gospels, I understand that what I've done. The message of salvation. What have I done with this blessed one who suffered on the tree? Have I really realized that my sins were borne upon him at Calvary? When he went there and he undertook all that work that was laid upon him, the Father sent the Son in order that there might be a blessing for souls like you and me, to establish a way of salvation which would satisfy God's righteousness. Have I really laid hold of it for myself? Or is the gospel like a story? Something that I know. Many here could tell the gospel story from beginning to end, far better than I can. But oh, have you laid hold of it? That before God you're a sinner and you need to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to forgive them. The one who is able and willing tonight to receive you into blessing if you're ready to trust him. You know, he's a wonderful Savior, and these things are real. These things need to be faced. It's said that you can put things off for a time and think about them, but friend, I don't preach that. Because I don't know what tomorrow may bring. And I want you to be sure that you've had to do with this wonderful Saviour. Because if you do, you can have true peace with God. And that's why I read from the scripture in Matthew's Gospel. For here we have the scene of the trial of Jesus. Where wicked men had a choice. There were two persons that could have been crucified. But according to the tradition of the day, because of the day that it was, one person could be released. One person was a thief and a robber. The other person was Jesus. Pilate was the judge. He had to ask the people, which one shall I deliver up and which one shall I release? And the cry came back, release Barabbas. Pilate must have been perplexed. Why would they want a man who had done nothing amiss to be crucified, but they wanted a robber in their midst instead? Friends, such is the heart of man. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? I would ask you that question tonight. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with the gospel? What are you going to do with the message of salvation? God is asking you to consider seriously where you are. He's offering salvation to you tonight, if you'll only come to him. He's got a Saviour who's able to meet every need that you have. What will you do with Jesus? Well, look, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what God has done with it. God allowed him to be crucified there upon that cross, so that a basis could be established for the gospel to be preached and for you to be saved. But then what happened? He went into death. He gave his life. No one took it from him. He laid it down of himself upon that cross at Calvary. And he went into death. He was put in a grave. But the triumph of the gospel is that he came forth from the grave after 3 days and 3 nights, triumphant. The mighty power of God demonstrated that he's overcome death, been into it and broken its power, and come forth triumphant. And then what did God do? After 40 days, when he was seen by other believers and other people. Yes, this is no myth. He was seen by individual persons. He was seen by small companies. He was seen by 500 at once at one time. All bore witness to the fact that Jesus was risen. Oh, the wonder of the gospel. Men would seek to set aside the truth of the resurrection. They cannot do it. It stands on witness in Scripture. Persons actually saw. In fact, more than that, they actually saw when he was taken up from them. The wonder of that the man that I proclaim to you is a man tonight at God's right hand in heaven. He's a man in the glory. And persons were with him when he was taken up. Some of his disciples. And they saw him ascend up into heaven. Truth of the fact that God has crowned him with glory and honor. The fact that he has a place at God's right hand in heaven. A man who completed everything, a according to the will of God, the work of salvation completed. And now tonight, the gospel can go out and it goes out from God's heart of love. The man in the glory, Jesus, is appearing to your heart tonight. Why won't you come, Lee? Remember that old hymn that we often love to sing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Accept before God that we need for those sins to be washed away, and there's an inward longing in our hearts to have peace with God. Friend, you have it, because you can have it tonight. It's available to you as it was available to me years ago, and I didn't accept it straight away, but I want you to, because I don't know what lies ahead for you. But I know that if you don't accept Jesus as your Saviour, the judgment of God lies ahead. And I wouldn't want to be in your shoes to stand before a righteous and a holy God. But I don't preach condemnation in the gospel. I don't need to. Because the work of Jesus has provided a basis by which I can preach salvation. And I want you to consider very carefully just where you are. Just where you are with God. Are you trusting in Him? Has every sin gone? Do you have peace? That one who went to glory, who's at God's right hand in heaven, he's coming soon again. Again, I cannot tell you when it will be, but I don't think it'll be long. He'll come for all those who love Him. Everyone that's trusted in Him will be taken to be eternally with Him, to dwell forever with Him. And He's promised that because He told us in John 14, if you read the Bible, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's why He's there. The place is prepared. Friend, have you reserved it? Have you laid hold of it for yourself? Now you start thinking about it. No, don't think about it. I want you to come to Christ tonight. I want you to know that the Saviour is willing and waiting and able to meet your need, so that you might never again have to wonder about your sins, have to wonder about God as to whether He's forgiven you. For He has a righteous basis in which to do it. Christ has established it. What will you do with Jesus, who is called Christ? What will you do with Him tonight? Gospel message goes out to appeal to your heart to trust in Him. Oh, how our hearts need to be softened to recognize that the Saviour is available for you just to come tonight and have to do with Him as a Saviour. The opportunity is yours. At the time of the trial of Jesus, men made an awful choice. Tonight, I'm not asking you to make a choice. I'm asking you to trust in Jesus. I just want you to realize that there is no other way of salvation. And if you put it off, you're only putting off your eternal blessing. But what you may be doing is losing an opportunity to have to do with a God who loves you. And in that day when we have to give an account of ourselves to God, how sad it would be if you had to say, well, I heard the gospel, but I didn't really want to believe it. God invites you. God appeals to you in his love to draw you to himself. He knows your need. He's able to meet it. And as that hymn says, in that day, you'll find in him the one who can give you joy and peace and satisfaction. And as the hymn said, yet there is room. There is room tonight. Room for you. And a God who knows your need is able to open the door for you to come in. Oh, that old hymn that we sometimes used to sing, you know. Swing those heart's doors widely open. Let him enter. Why delay? Tonight, the gospel message is yours.